T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The first pitch is blasted deep to right, and Kyle Schwarber has arrived. A leadoff home run on the first pitch from Zach Gallen. His first homer of the postseason. It's 1-0 Phillies.
Oh, there it is. Yes, a leadoff bomb from Kyle Schwarber. We appreciate Kyle joining us there a few minutes ago. One day until opening. Yeah, we didn't get a chance to get to that. You think you could beat him in a race?
I definitely think I can get him now.
You mean like now, or you when you're in your prime?
No, I mean like right today. Like, I definitely think I can beat him in a race. Like,
yeah,
right,
Hugh, you're wrong on that one.
I'm just saying it's about being confident, man. I'm confident.
You could be confident. I mean, you could say it, but
yeah,
I think I can do it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna vote no on that one. All right, so we got a lot to do here. 215-592-9494. Nick Sirianni. Lurie talked about him yesterday. We'll bring more to you during the show here of what Jeff Lurie had to say yesterday in the State of the Eagles press conference down at the owners' meetings. But have we been too critical of Nick Sirianni?
No.
I think we have. I think we've gone to a point where he gets by far the most blame for the Eagles' issues, when I don't think he even has that much say in what's going on around here. I mean, the defense was terrible. The quarterback didn't play great down the stretch. They were not even a great team to begin with. They fell apart because it all collapsed at once. Does he deserve some blame? Absolutely. But I think we've been way too critical, myself included, of Sirianni. Obviously, Hugh disagrees. All right, so we have that on the table. We're going to get to, in a few minutes here, your chance to win Phillies tickets Saturday night against the Braves. But Hugh, we just talked to Kyle. He is the Phillies' leadoff hitter. You said it to him, and he's what did he say? I don't make the lineup. That's not my job.
Yeah, he said he hit all over the place.
He did in 1 year, hit 1-9. But he's been the Phillies' leadoff hitter primarily the last two seasons, and they've won a lot. Last 2 years, the Phillies are 151-100. That's a .602 winning percentage when he leads off. They're 45-48 when he doesn't. That is a below .500 winning percentage. This works. All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll throw this in the mix as well. It's the day before the opener. It's your last chance. Get on the record here. Who should be the Phillies' leadoff hitter? I will go first. You're going to be shocked by this. Ready? Kyle Schwarber should be the Phillies' leadoff hitter. He gets on base. He walks. He hits bombs. You just heard the call there in the NLCS last year, and they win. Plus, I think the one weakness, or one of the weaknesses Kyle has as a player, is he strikes out too much. We think we'd all agree with that. I'd rather that at the top of the lineup than in the middle. It's at the top of the lineup. He strikes out. All right, whatever. Trey's up next. You restart the whole thing. You put him 4 or 5, he strikes out, there's two guys on base, you lose a run-scoring opportunity. I think it makes the most sense, even though he doesn't look the part, of him as the leadoff hitter. He gets on base, he starts it off. I don't want to hear about him clogging the bases or whatever the heck that nonsense is from Howard. He should be the leadoff hitter. Hugh, it's your final day to vote here. This topper's got to tally the votes before the end of the day. Who's your leadoff hitter?
Oh, it's him. It's him because he's done something that nobody else has ever done in Major League Baseball, by far the best leadoff hitter in the last two seasons in Major League Baseball. So it's just one of those things where I know that there's a lot of people that complain about this, and I hear it every day, and I understand both sides of it, but you can't argue with what he's basically been doing, and you talk about the winning that he's been doing and just been crushing the ball. So, yeah, I'm with that.
Also think that the lineup is very challenging to make if you move him down. Like, who goes up? I mean, do you put him in the middle? I don't love him in the middle. Then if you drop him down to 4, you're putting Harper and Schwarber right back-to-back, two lefties. I think that becomes a challenge, too, for Topper. Leave it alone. The last 2 years, they've tried other things, and it hasn't worked. Like, that's where I go back to. He wasn't always the leadoff hitter. You go back to 2022 when he first got here. They moved him around, and then they settled on him as the leadoff guy, and they took off. Last year, they tried Bryson Stott. They tried Trey Turner. Didn't work. And they moved him back up, and the team started, they played at a 99-win pace from June 2nd to the end of the season when he was the leadoff hitter. It works. What we have, the Phillies have so many little question marks, some big question marks. Why are we messing with the one thing that works, Hugh? That's what I don't get, why people want to mess with success.
Because people don't like it. And you hear all the different excuses about, you know, how, you know, he's not batting anybody in and all this other good stuff. And he's like clogging up the bases and things like that. But it works for the Phillies. It's working for him. So I'm with it.
I mean, the guy had the highest OPS for being the first batter of a game in the history of the franchise. Not just the history of, like, the last decade, the history of the franchise. Highest OPS when leading off a game. 215-592-9494. All right, lot to jump in on here. Sirianni, have we been overly critical of the Eagles head coach since the season ended? And really, I guess, since the collapse started in early December. And today's your final chance. It is the final tally. You vote who should lead off for the Phillies. I guess we'll throw the three options out. You got Schwarber, who's clearly the best option. You got Turner, who I think a lot of people thought when they signed him, it was to be the leadoff hitter. And then you have Bryson Stott, who maybe one day, if he learns to walk, will be a leadoff hitter. I think he's best right now in the middle. All right, all that's out there. Plus, you know what we got to do today, right?
What we got?
Well, we got a pair of tickets to give away. Pair of tickets, the Phillies and Braves opening night. So this is the Saturday game, 4:05 first pitch. Fans 15 and over will receive a McDonald's opening night T-shirt. Hugh, we have a prize. We play our favorite game called Hugh's Clues.
Now, I know that the last couple of days when I've done Hugh's Clues has been kind of confusing for people, because my ideal of who's an actor or who's a singer is probably different than everybody else.
We've established that.
But I'm going to make it easy for you. And this person that I'm about to talk about is a legit actress. So that's your first clue. She's a legit actress.
So not like a musician that sometimes acts?
No, she's not a musician. Musician. She's a legit actress.
Okay.
She's legit.
All right. This one, no ambiguity today. This is a legitimate, no doubt about it, actress.
No doubt about this.
There is your first clue for Hugh's Clues. Pair of tickets, Phillies Braves, Saturday at 4:05 on the line. 215-592-9494. Schwarber, Turner, Stott. You picked the leadoff hitter. It's clearly Schwarber. I mean, like it's so obvious to me. I know a lot of people do not agree. It is so obvious to me Schwarber should be the leadoff hitter tomorrow, and I expect he will be. I think when the lineup comes out tomorrow for the game against the Braves against Strider, you'll see Schwarber 1, Turner 2, Harper 3. And then, of course, the Sirianni discussion. So far, a lot of people, I mean, Kyle, a lot of people want to be overly critical of Nick Sirianni as if he's the only reason this thing fell apart.
I know. And, like, I am one who, you know, maybe to a fault, trusts what the Eagles do, what the Eagles show me that they think. And what the Eagles show me that they think is that it wasn't Sirianni's fault that this whole thing fell apart. I think this is what's a point that I made a lot of times throughout the season, is that their best players didn't play up to their ability. Jalen Hurts, Hassan Reddick, a lot of the guys on the defensive line, I think that's the case for. Now, you can also make the case that they weren't as talented, but the coaches didn't do a good enough job. And, I mean, that includes Sirianni, but the Eagles told us that was mostly the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator, both very inexperienced. They made that correction and brought in two experienced guys. Like, that's what they told us was wrong. Like, I understand that we all want to look at the head coach and say, he's, you know, the collapse, why couldn't he do anything? Maybe he just simply couldn't do anything. Like, maybe there was nothing to be done at the time. So I'm giving him this offseason to show me that there is something he can do.
Or maybe he was a bubblehead and, you know, he messed
well, he
up.
Was for a
I mean,
bit.
The players mess up and he was a bubblehead and he messed up.
Yeah, but we let the players off the hook for.
No, I don't think anybody was let off
the hook. Oh, I do. I mean, compared to Sirianni?
No, Sirianni. Because, you know what?
We've let the players off the hook.
Can
a
I
little
tell
bit.
You why Coach Sirianni's still getting heat? I mean, and I like Coach Sirianni, but I'm being real. I'm keeping it a bean.
Tell us.
Because he's still saying stupid stuff. Like, when he has his press conferences, you still don't feel comfortable with what's coming out of his mouth.
We are never going to. His first press conference here is the worst thing I ever heard a coach do. I mean, you felt like you wanted to just lay down and put a pillow over your head afterwards.
You might be right, Joe. So here's what you do. If I'm Coach Sirianni, and I kind of practice this. This is my mantra. Don't say a whole lot. Just say what you need to say and keep it moving. Like, the more you sit up, the more opportunities you get to talk, the worse you make it. Until you get to the point where you can sit up there, you can be clear and concise. Just stop saying a whole lot. Hey, man, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how to get this together.
But he can't say that. Hugh, if he says I'm still trying to figure it out, we'll run him out of town.
Because you know what's funny? Because we're still sitting here talking about when he said, what did he say, Joe? I'm going to pop in the meeting. Like, come on, dog. Yeah. Seriously? You're going to pop in the meeting. And then he tried to walk it back and say, I'm going to be involved.
That being said, that same guy led a team to a Super Bowl.
I am not taking that away from him.
But
you know who else went to a Super Bowl?
Well, plenty of guys that aren't that good. I know. I mean, I watched Barry Switzer win a Super Bowl. I get it. All right, Dennis in Springfield. What's up, Dennis?
Bro, how we doing, Joe?
What's up, Dennis?
You know what? You want a Schwarber to lead off? Fine. How about if we have him lead off starting in May? Because he sucks. In March, April, and early May.
So who doesn't suck in April?
He may be one of the reasons why they get off to a slow start every year.
So who doesn't suck in April? Who do you want to lead off?
Oh, okay. So what? So he goes up there and he's batting 90 for the first 2.5 months of the season. They fall 10 games behind, and now he'll hit 25 home runs in June, and his stats end up looking like the back of his baseball card.
No, but Dennis, I'm asking you, who doesn't suck in April that you want to lead off?
Well, Turner did last year, but his history doesn't show that he does, whereas Schwarber's history shows it. You can guarantee, if he has a hot end of March, April, and midway through May, I'll be stunned. And the other thing is that gets me about this is, if Schwarber went into Thompson today and said, you know what, I'm really not feeling this leadoff thing anymore, bat me fourth or fifth, Thompson would move him.
Why would he do that, though?
Well, Thompson would move him. This is strictly Schwarber production.
Oh, I disagree, Dennis. I disagree.
Oh, it's absolutely.
No, Dennis, I disagree. Because the lineup doesn't make any sense if he's not leadoff. Because there's another pothole. I'm trying to explain it. There's another pothole. Where are you putting him if he's not leadoff?
I'm batting him fourth or fifth.
So fourth. So he's right behind Bryce Harper. So late in the game, when a team could bring in their best and nastiest left-handed pitcher, that guy gets to face both of those guys with no righty in between.
Dennis, you're
hurting Bryce Harper late in the game to move Schwarber. You realize that?
Oh yeah, and Alex Bohm just protected Harper so well last year, late in the season, and in the playoffs. Harper couldn't get a pitch to swing at last year in the playoffs. I mean, you want to keep batting Schwarber lead off, fine. And you know what'll happen? Each year you'll go less than you went the year before. 2 years ago, they got no hit by the Astros.
Dennis, you make it sound like this team was reeling off 100 win seasons before he got here, and he's ruined everything. This team was irrelevant. They had Bryce Harper. They didn't make the playoffs.
So in other words, this whole team was in place, and then Schwarber came to the rescue. Now, this team was built.
Well, hold on.
Piece by piece. You can't say Harper was here and they were irrelevant.
Well, they were.
Castellano wasn't here. Schwarber wasn't
right.
here.
So,
they had
Wheeler. They had Nola. They had Bryce. Yeah. They had Real Muto.
But the
part that drives me crazy is you're saying the last 2 years, all the negatives, they didn't do any of this stuff till he got here.
Until Castellano got here, until Turner got here.
Yeah, but let's be real. Let's be real. Let's not put Castellanos in the Schwarber category. Come on, Dennis. I mean, let's be real. And Castellanos has had like a week of good October in the last 2 years, one total week. Schwarber's hit like 10 or 12 postseason home runs already in a Phillies uniform. Like,
were they one piece away? And then all of a sudden, is he Pete Rose? Is he the guy that got the 1980 Phillies over the top? No, the 1980 Phillies were Pete Rose away. Kyle Schwarber didn't all of a sudden make this team take this team from being a doormat.
They didn't win until he got here. I mean, that's the reality.
And they still haven't won.
Well, Dennis, there's levels of winning. Holy moly, the team didn't make the playoffs.
He do not
for
like Kyle Schwarber.
Decade, a decade. No, of course he's not the only reason. I agree with that. They built this thing. They added a lot of pieces, but we act like they put him in the leadoff spot and it got worse. I mean, I don't even understand. Like, they win more when he's in the leadoff spot. Sometimes I feel like this is a practical joke everyone's playing on me. Like, this obviously works, and then everyone tells me, Joe, we shouldn't do that anymore. Like, do you hear yourselves when you say it?
Yes, I think they do, Joe.
I'm not sure. This thing that is clearly successful, we should stop doing it.
I just like the fact that every day since we got closer to baseball season, this has been a hot topic that has not gone away yet. I just think it's fascinating.
It's amazing. David is in Westchester. What's up, David?
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
hey,
David. What's up?
Hey, Joe, let's do some housekeeping. Did you win that race?
Which one?
The one with Aaron Nola.
No, David, I didn't race against Aaron Nola down in Clearwater. Like, he's getting ready for a season.
Joe, we had a deal.
Well, no, you had something you said on the radio. I don't know if that means it's a deal, but yeah.
I didn't
go bother Aaron Nola to see if he would race me because David in Westchester wants to do this.
All right, Joe, I'm going to let you off on this one.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the reason why Nick Sirianni feels no pressure is because Dr. Howard Eskin was giving him a lobotomy when he was interviewing him, so he feels nothing. Now, as far as your point of not being critical enough, we are not, because this is based on what have you done for me lately. Basically. And, yes, he won a lot of games. I used to love Nick Sirianni. And but once he started with the collapse, he fired a defensive coordinator. It didn't work. You know what you do then? Fire another defensive coordinator. Keep firing people until it does work. And that's his job. But his job is just answering to Howie, and Howie keeps him relevant and keeps him in there because he'll do whatever Howie asks. And that's what we're looking at.
Well, I mean, that's certainly probably part of it. I mean, David, I think the Eagles look at their coach as a manager, like a baseball manager. And that's why I think we're too critical, because I don't even – like, baseball managers only do so much. The team wins and loses. The front office wins and loses. I don't even know how much Sirianni even does around here.
He doesn't do anything. Do you remember Howie's old office in the Chip Kelly days? That's where Nick is right now. Howie's got him stashed away there. He's going to let him out on game days. And that's it. That's the only thing he's there for, so he can be Howie's little proxy on the sidelines.
All right, David. I get it, man. People want to scream about Sirianni. Okay, David, give us a guess for Hughes Clues. An actress. An honest-to-goodness actress.
Okay, I'm going to give you the guess, but I'm Hugh, that clue is just so lacking. An actress. Are you serious?
Yesterday, the clue was the actor. So what's the problem? I kept it consistent.
Consistently bad. All right, so
you're just
I'm
mad
because
you want these tickets.
I'm going to go with an Eagles theme since we're all Eagles up. I'm going to go with Jennifer Lawrence because of Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, it's a good guess. Yeah, and she's an honest-to-goodness actress. David, we appreciate it. Jennifer Lawrence.
Who's that?
You don't know who Jennifer Lawrence is?
Let me Google.
You know who she is.
I don't know.
Silver Linings Playbook. She was in
the
Hunger Games.
Oh, the Hunger Games lady.
Yeah. She was a young lady.
Oh yeah, she played. She was. Yeah, I've seen her. She's on a Netflix show where some parents hired her to date their son because she was a little older. I forgot the name of the movie, but yeah, I've seen it before.
I mean, her star was really rising for a while. I haven't seen her much lately, but yeah, you know who she is.
Yeah, Jennifer. Yeah, I got you.
Let's go to Luke in Philadelphia. What's up, Luke?
Luke.
What's going on, fellas? How are we?
Luke, doing well, buddy. What are you thinking?
We ready for opening day tomorrow?
We are. Hopefully the weather
We're trying to figure
cooperates.
It out now, though, because, you know, our days are probably going to change depending on the weather. So, yeah.
We're ready. Whether it's tomorrow or Friday, we are ready.
Yes, sir. Me too. Can't wait. So, Schwarber, Leoff, I'm good with it. And I think if we changed it at all, I would just switch Harper and Schwarber and see how that works out.
So you put Harper in the leadoff spot, and you put – I mean, there's a school of thought, Luke, that some teams think the best player, the best hitter, right? You just you put them first because over the course of the season they get the most plate appearances. I mean, that's why Acuna bats leadoff in Atlanta. So I wouldn't hate that, but I doubt they're going to move Bryce off of three. That feels like where he wants a hit.
Yeah, I agree. I would just like
got that
just to see what would happen.
Well, I mean, it would get Bryce Harper to the plate more. I mean, if of all the potential options, that's the one I probably would disagree with the least. I mean, I wouldn't drive me crazy there. Luke, man, we appreciate the phone call. Yes, we are a day away from opening day. Is this weather going to hold up for us? What are we thinking?
When you say hold out, what do you mean? I think there's levels to hold out. Like, will we get the game in if they play tomorrow? I think yes. Will it sprinkle on your head a little bit? Yes.
Now, because it's opening day and because they have the built-in off day on Friday, are they going to make us sit through some sprinkles or are we just going to push this thing back
to Friday? See, now that's interesting because opening day, I would think that, you know, a lot of people want to go, but a lot of people have a lot of little kids. And I would think that most parents don't want their children out in the weather like that, the inclement weather. So if they can hold off to Friday, I think you would get more bang for your buck.
Here's what I need. I need the Phillies and the weather to just pick our lane, right? Like, if we're going to push this thing to Friday, all right, we'll push it to Friday, nicer weather. But if we're going to do it tomorrow, and we got to grin and bear it, Hugh. We can't like say we're going to do it, and then an hour before the pitch, we're like, nah.
But I will say this, for personal reasons, if they move it to Friday, that's an Uber ride for me, because I'm about to have me some fun on. I'm about to have some fun at the Phillies.
So you want the game on Friday?
Yeah, I do. For personal reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I want baseball tomorrow
because I'm gonna be out there, having me a couple with the fans and drinking and singing. Whatever we sing, whatever song.
Well,
what's the song
I think.
What's the song that I don't like?
Come on,
Dancing
it's
on
the
own?
Song.
Dancing on my own.
Are you going to get on board with this? They're about to play
no,
this.
No, I don't like it, but I'm going to sing it because I'm going to be about, what, 3, 4, 5, 6 in?
Well, I think most people are going to be, whether it's tomorrow or Friday. It's
well,
opening
see, for
day.
Me, it's being responsible. You know, I got responsibilities.
Yeah, I mean,
on Friday.
We don't start till 10, though.
Yeah, but still, Joe, I like to be coherent.
I know you do.
Because it's hard enough for me to be coherent when you know what I mean? So I need all the help I can get.
I hear
That's
you.
Why I'm drinking mushroom coffee. You know, by the way, that I don't know how that mushroom coffee in my stomach, dog. I don't know.
It's not agreeing with you?
Well, it's been some frequent bathroom visits.
Okay, now that we have that out there, 215-592-9494.
I'm still drinking it.
We got all your phone calls coming up next. Kyle Schwarber, should he be the leadoff hitter? Stott, Turner, Schwarber, get on the record. Who should lead off tomorrow against the Braves? And have we been too critical of Nick Sirianni? I believe we have. Jeff Fleury yesterday reiterated why he kept him. His record over his best stretch. And I look at it as the guy is like a manager in baseball. He's not the biggest reason they win. He's not the biggest reason they lost at the end either. I think we've been too critical of Nick Sirianni. We'll come back at all your phone calls. Your chance to win Phillies tickets. First clue today for Hughes Clues. An actress. An honest-to-goodness actress. Plus,
for real one.
A couple interesting questions and answers during Lurie's presser yesterday about Sirianni. We'll play those next on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
ESPN Bet is now live in Pennsylvania as the official sports book of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Elliot's going to join us coming up at 12. He spent a couple days down there in Orlando at the owners' meeting. Of course, opening day tomorrow. We got a pair of tickets to give away on the show to the opening night game Saturday, 4:05 first pitch. Hughes Clues, first clue today, an actress. We'll get another clue coming up here. First, let's hear from Jeff Lurie before we go back to the phones. Yesterday, I thought there was an interesting answer, Lurie, about the play calling aspect of Sirianni. Of is that a negative that he's not a play caller? Here's Lurie on his history with play callers and head coaches, and really maybe how we've gotten a little bit wrong over the years.
What if you go back to it's interesting, if you go back to who I've hired as head coach, with the exception of Chip Kelly, I've never hired a head coach who's really called any plays. They may have called it when they joined the Eagles or did eventually, but I've always prioritized as a head coach many, many other qualities. And I think that's been one of the important aspects. I don't like to talk about it a lot because I feel it's like proprietary how we choose head coaches. But if you go back, since you're asking the question, it's a head coach's responsibility to have the plays called really well. It doesn't matter who is calling the plays. You want to have an excellent play caller. Does that have to be the head coach? No. When I look for a head coach, I'm looking for things that have big ramifications beyond the ability to call plays. And they're all important, but it's never been the reason I've ever hired a head coach.
So I think that was a really interesting answer. A couple of things. One, he's truthful in an aspect. I think he leaves some things out of it. Like, yes, Andy Reid wasn't a play call before he got here, but then he called the plays.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson wasn't a play call before he got here, but then he called the plays. Sirianni wasn't, but then he called the plays when he first got here, and then it wasn't good, and he stopped calling the plays. Also, he did leave out that if your head coach is not the play caller, Hugh, and you have a good play call, that guy gets poached, right? That's why Shane Steichen left, because someone hired him. You know, the 49ers never have to worry about who's calling the plays. No one's stealing Kyle Shanahan. So he was truthful, but I thought he kind of went around the truth a little bit there with that answer.
Well, it's the evolution of the head coaching job. It's the evolution of it. And to his point, it made me think when I heard him say that, it made me think. And he's right, because Coach Reed didn't call the plays initially. Rod Dyhauer did. And I forgot about Rod. He was the offensive coordinator at the time. But there was one thing that Coach Reed did when he got here that to this day I still see him do with his other players. He exudes confidence and respect. And you never, like, as far as Coach Reed as a head coach, you always knew where you stood. And there was never a doubt where you felt like whatever Coach Reed did, you never second-guessed him. Even when Coach Reed had a blind spot for receivers, even when he had a blind spot,
and it was a blind spot,
it was a huge blind spot for receivers, you never questioned him. Now, with that being said, it's been documented that these players, and I'm just not speaking out of turn, because it's been said that Coach Sirianni, whoever called the plays, they didn't believe it, and they changed.
Well, the Seattle play at the end of the game in Seattle.
So that's where I feel like to level the criticism against him. And on top of that, you criticized or you second-guessed the coach, to your point, Joe, that got you to the Super Bowl. He got you to the Super Bowl, and, you know, you're going into a game, and they call a play, and somebody said, you know what? Nah, I don't like that play. Because, in essence, if you're being real about it, I don't like the play because I don't trust your play calling, and I call something else. That's something that I've never been witness of when Coach Reed was coaching.
Well, no, that's different. It's a different level here. And I think it's evolved. You said that word evolution. It has evolved. I think what the Eagles look for in their head coaches evolves. I mean, Lurie stated the word. He used the word manager yesterday. Managers in baseball. The manager in baseball kind of just sets the tone and makes moves here and there. But the front office is how the baseball team was created, and the players decide it. I think that's more of what Sirianni is here, and it's why I think we're overly critical. I don't think he impacts wins or losses that much, really. I mean, I think compared to a guy like Shanahan or Reed, I don't think he does. 215-592-9494. Have we been too critical here of Nick Sirianni? We'll get to one more thing Lurie said in a moment about his demeanor on the sidelines. I thought it was really interesting. But, Hugh, let's give people a second clue here. We didn't get to any of our Hughes clues in the first hour. So let's hit people with a second Hughes clue for our big prize today. What do you got?
The second clue is, and this probably gives some little insight to, you know, how old I am. When I mentioned this person's name, this actress' name, Kyle had no clue who she was.
He was lost legitimately on this.
Not only did I not recognize the name, but I Google searched her. That never seen this woman in my life.
Dude,
I'm surprised on this. I mean, Kyle is younger than both of us. Obviously, younger than you. He's also younger than me. I feel like he should have known this name.
Dude, like, oh, I want to give y'all another clue, but
just wait.
Wait.
All right, but that's a big clue that Kyle had no idea who this actress was. But I think he should have.
But she played, like, for me growing up. I mean, this is kind of a clue, but you can say this for a whole lot of actresses back in the day. But she had a scene in a movie where it was just like, oh wow. I didn't know she was working with all that.
Well, I think that helped. That's going to help people. All right, let's go to Jay in West Philly. What's up, Jay?
kill you.
Jay.
The one sport I think you do know is baseball, and I'm flabbergasted about his Schwarber thing.
How come?
You know, he should not be hitting leadoff at all.
So the guy that gets on the guy that gets on base more and they win when they do it, you don't want that leading off.
He's on the team when they win. He should be hitting fifth. He don't see enough pitches up there. He clogged up.
Doesn't see enough pitches. Jay, he sees more pitches than anyone on the team.
Oh, they walk him because Turner was behind.
No, no, no. He's walked
actually
his whole. He walked. No, no, Jay,
is
Jay.
A better leadoff.
Stott doesn't walk. He doesn't get on base as much.
I mean, you got me calling Kyle because I like Will. But Julia, you know good well that he's not a good leadoff hitter.
Let me ask you then. What makes a good leadoff hitter?
41 home runs with 41 RBI.
What makes
That's
a good leadoff? Jay, what makes a good leadoff hitter?
Person get on base.
So hold on. Schwarber gets on base more than Stott. So you're done with Stott already. You took your whole point and threw it out.
So use your argument. You say he get more opportunities because he lead off, right?
Yeah, you get up more over the course.
He's a mistake hitter, so they're not going to throw him nothing. Get behind. Swear he could do more damage when he got people on base, right?
He could also do more damage to the team by striking out with guys on base.
Okay. So by your calculations, Ryan Howard should have been the leadoff hitter.
No, because he didn't get on base as much as Jay Utley. Yeah. Utley should have hit ahead of him. Utley should have hit ahead. Well, Utley was a better hitter.
No, I'm saying Ryan Howard is a better hitter than Kyle Schwarber.
The different hitter. Different hitter.
Different hitter. He's better. Yeah. Yeah, he's different.
As far
as Sirianni, which one of them got to you? Was it Eskin or Spadaro? Which one of them got to you?
No. I mean,
you wanted him fired.
Well, I did want to fire Jay.
I did.
Jay, I would have fired him. I absolutely would have fired him. They should have fired him. But now that he's here, we talk about him as if he's a total bozo.
Okay, but this is the same thing I was telling you before, that he could be a CEO head coach and all of a sudden. Now, all of a sudden, we blame him too much. I think Eskin got to you. So Spadaro,
I don't even respond to Eskin's text during the show.
You call him King when he just coming in. Ain't no way I'm calling Eskin King.
Well, I mean, that name was given to him. Sometimes the nicknames are given to you. Jay, what's your nickname?
They give him the name I give him.
What's that?
I don't think we can probably say his name.
Hey, you.
What?
You got to watch Julio, man. He got the Michael Jackson tendency, man.
Michael Jackson.
The Beyonce, George. He tried to go solo. His take, when he come on there, man, and everybody going at him.
Well, Jay, I mean, it's not easy being right here. All right, Jay, give me a guess here for Hughes Clues. What do you got? Who's the actress?
It's either.
Ain't no either or, dog. It's one. You get one guess.
Is it Pam Grier?
That's a good guess.
What'd he say?
Pam Grier.
Not Pam Grier, Jay. Jay, we appreciate it. I don't understand. Jay says, I ask him, what is the most important thing for leadoff hitter? He says, get on base.
That's what Kyle does.
Well, he gets on base more than Stott. Shouldn't that be the end of the conversation there? But Jay just keeps going.
I think people don't like it's something about Kyle Schwarber that rubs people the wrong way.
I don't think it's Schwarber. I think it's Schwarber as the leadoff hitter. Because honestly, why would people not be a fan of Schwarber? He's been a really good Philly for 2 years. They've been to the NLCS both times.
Yeah.
Kyle, I don't think the Schwarber conversation is anti-Schwarber. I think it's Schwarber as the leadoff hitter.
Yeah, I don't think, well, unless you're Ron Amanco. I think Ron Amanco just hates Kyle Schwarber. But no, it should just be, I think there's fair arguments for both sides here. But, it's obvious that it should be Kyle Schwarber. Just look at how much they win with the guy.
I love how that doesn't matter either. Well, that's a coincidence. Well, how come they didn't win when he was not the leadoff hitter? How come they're below 500 when he's not the leadoff hitter? I don't get it. Mike, Mad Mike, is up next. What's up, Mike?
Here we go.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good, Mike.
How are you doing today, Mike?
Howie Roseman should be fired for hiring that bozo moron who talks about flowers, Sirianni. It's Howie's fault. He shouldn't be here. Don't hire a moron head coach who doesn't deserve to be a head coach because you're afraid of losing your grip on power, and then we wouldn't have situations like this.
Did you notice yesterday, Mike, by the way, that when one of the questions and answers that he gave about Sirianni, like 10 seconds into it, he just went into praising Howie. I mean, Howie's not going anywhere anytime soon, Mike. We all know this.
Well, I mean, okay, fine. But, like, let we have a moron head coach because of Howie Roseman. And that's all his fault. They refuse to hire anybody because they're terrified of Chip Kelly happening again. And we're just going to have morons as our head coach. So now we have to get offensive coordinators who are the de facto head coach.
Hugh, I don't think he's wrong on this. They don't want a strong personality as the head coach.
It feels that way. And you know, when you look at, like, again, and I point to some of the stuff that Coach Sirianni has done. Anybody else would have been fired with the major collapse. That's a historic collapse. That's never happened. A team, what did they go, 11? They got 11 wins and didn't get a win after that?
Where they were 10-1 and then, they only won one more game.
Yeah, so that's ridiculous. That doesn't happen in the NFL.
Unless they were not really that good at 10-1.
No, but still, you could coach. There are teams that you could argue that are less talented at key positions than other teams, and they still find ways to win. You could say that about the Indianapolis Colts. And what they had in the coffers there.
Right. But my point
is they still were able to win.
They did find a way to win. It just evened out to 11-6.
This team, when you look at it, and I am not just on here blowing smoke up anybody's glues. They were incompetent. They looked incompetent at the end of the year.
I don't disagree with that. All right, Mike, what do you got on baseball? You ready for opening day?
You know, baseball's stupid. It belongs back in 18.
Oh.
It's a dumb sport. I don't care about it. Let's just keep talking about football.
Mike, appreciate you, buddy. I mean, I hurt my feelings. I love baseball.
Oh, you didn't let him get a guess.
Well, he said he hates baseball.
A guess for Hughes Clues.
Right, for tickets to the Phillies game.
I
love Mike, but that seems unfair to all the people out there who want to go to the game.
That's a good point. I forgot about the fact that it was Phillies.
Yeah, right. It's the second game of the year. A guy says he hates baseball. I mean, how am I going to hand him the tickets?
Yeah, you don't want that guy.
All right. Let's. So two things quickly on the Eagles, and then we'll get right back to your phone calls. Number one, we got some news this morning, and it seems like a lot of people around the NFL think it is a big deal. Well, I guess we'll find out in time. Hugh, a member of Howie Roseman's front office is leaving.
Who's leaving?
Jake Rosenberg, who has been credited for a long time now as being the guy behind the contracts that Howie's able to give out, the salary cap guy.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot, who's going to join us coming up at 12, as I've heard him many times talk about, like when we talk about the salary cap and how the Eagles are always under the cap, always have enough move.
Jake's that dude.
Elliot always references Howie and Jake Rosenberg. Well, Jake Rosenberg, longtime salary cap executive and the Howie's aide in the front office, he's leaving the Eagles. According to Jeff McClain, seems like he wants to be a GM at some point, and he kind of realizes he's
never going to be the GM at the Eagles.
Yeah, he's stuck here. So he's going to leave after the draft. So he's out, and the Eagles have to replenish. I mean, this has happened a lot. They've lost a lot of good people in the front office over the years that have become GMs in other places. We'll see where Jake Rosenberg goes. But according to Jeff McClain, he is leaving the Eagles when his contract expires at the end of the draft.
Congratulations for him, man.
Well, I mean, he's been a name, on a successful team for a long time. So maybe he gets a shot somewhere. Kyle, can we hear the Lurie cut on the idea of Sirianni in the sidelines? I mean, I thought this was a really interesting question and answer because Hugh, we all watched it. I mean, Sirianni could be
meltdown.
He could be a lot. I mean, we heard the report that Big Dom had to keep him in check on the sidelines. We heard and we saw what happened at Kansas City, which I thought was childish behavior at the end of a game after they won. Here's Jeff Lurie on what does he think of Sirianni's sideline demeanor?
I think, first of all, one of the aspects that makes Nick really good is he's authentic. He doesn't hold back. That also can be a negative at times. On the sideline, you don't want to infuriate the referees. I always worry about, you know, I want the referees to give us a fair shake, so I don't want him to overreact. But I love his passion. So, you know, I think he recognizes that it can be a little bit counterproductive if he overdoes his own passion. But you don't want to stop where that passion's coming from. So you got to find a sweet spot. And I think he wants to find a sweet spot of what that's like, you know. But you don't – I love his passion.
What'd you make of that answer, Hugh? The idea that he said, I love his passion. He doesn't want to change who he is, but – it wasn't like a full endorsement of the behavior we see.
Well, it's funny because I've had these conversations before with executives when they say certain things, you know, describing me talking about authentic and passionate. There's a fine line that you walk with that, and you have to, because I think that a lot of things that make Coach Sirianni great is who he is and his passion, but you always have to have those buffers, like, in play to help make sure you don't cross the line too much. You know, so I'm familiar with the jargon that he's using when he says that, because a lot of times what makes you successful as an individual or whatever it is that you decide to do is who you are. So you have to walk that fine line between being true to who you are and also staying within the ramifications of keeping your job. So, like, when Coach Sirianni did the thing with the Kansas City Chiefs fans, I saw that. I didn't have a problem with it, but I also understood that that could potentially come back to bite you.
It's too much. I mean, I thought it was immature.
Yeah, so you have to be aware of that. And a lot of times this year, you heard where kind of Coach Sirianni's passion for the game had led him to having some tete-a-tetes on the sideline with some of his players.
Now, that's a bigger deal. That's got to calm down.
And see, that's the problem, Joe, and that's where I'm saying that there has to be a level of respect there, and the respect goes both ways. And again, I think that, you know, when you look at some of his core qualities, that's the reason why he still has a job. But for somebody else, that could be a net negative, and he would have been fired.
Yeah, and I think you're right on that. Moving forward, and I said this about the AJ stuff. Right? When people started to complain about AJ being too demonstrative on the sideline. To me, it's very hard for Sirianni to tell these guys to calm down.
When he over there acting a donkey.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing as if you watch, if a kid has a temper or he or she yells and screams or has meltdowns, and then you watch the parent, and the parent's got a temper and yells and screams and meltdowns. You're like, well, that's the reason, right? Yeah. Like, how's the parent supposed to tell the kid, let's keep our calm, let's relax here, if you're not calm? So that's something moving forward. Like, we can talk about X's and O's all we want. Like, that's something he should be able to fix.
You should be more self-aware.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to be more self-aware, man. And the thing that you have to realize is, a lot of times and I'm not saying that you should change who you are, but a lot of times the way you are could potentially rub people the wrong way.
Totally.
So you have to be self-conscious of that. It, unfortunately, it is what it is. And I think Coach Sirianni is in that space. And like I said, I don't think he's a bubblehead. But last year, you can't argue and deny that he did some bubblehead stuff down the course.
Yeah, a couple bubblehead things. I do think, though, we've been a little too critical, even though the bubblehead things are there. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Hey, Will. What's up?
All right. I just wanted to come. Like, Sirianni, it was a collapse. But I believe it started a little bit with that podcast situation. Then the social media back and forth situation. So that kind of took the focus off the team and, you know, what a few players and what we was trying to do. And then I think it trickled into the locker room, you know. Then when it trickled into the locker room, you know, it got to the coach. And then the coach is like, he probably didn't have a way to fix the situation, as we could see, you know. But I believe, like, it was a lot of emotional things that went on in the locker room. And, you know, y'all had a topic before about, you know, feelings and everything. And I just wanted to ask this question. Do you think Jason Kelce retired because of his feelings? And he kind of, like, retired a little too early because he was so hurt from that season that we had. And, you know, he was putting his all in and, you know, it seemed like the team just gave up. And would you be mad if he said, you know what, I decided a little early, and I just want to hold on.
Whoa, Will. Hopefully, hey, you're Will. You're right. Will, you good?
The hell is going on?
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I haven't heard something like that since Howard fell off his bike on the air. I mean, that was rough.
Yeah, but I got it because I got to do this job real quick, and I'm gonna go after the huge clue. How about Lisa Bonet?
Lisa Bonet. That's a name we haven't heard very often.
Yeah, Lisa Bonet.
That's not it, but that's a good guess there. I mean, I do love when the people try to get, not just answer the, you know, the clues.
Just to think how I'm thinking.
Who are you thinking about? That's what's in people's head here. 215-592-9494. So his question was, do we think Kelce retired because of all this? I don't.
I think that has something to do with
you
it.
You do? Right? I think Kelce was out anyway. That documentary last year on Amazon, he had one foot out the door. Plus, we're getting the stories this morning. It's like a bidding war for Jason Kelce in the media now that he's done playing football.
I ain't mad at that. Like, he's going to make it. Like he's going to be in a position to make a ton of bread.
Yeah, he is. And good for him. I think he had one foot out the door anyway. I don't think it's because of Nick or the locker room. It felt to me like he was going to retire no matter what this season gave. I mean, I thought there was a real chance he would have retired last year if they won that Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. We'll get to everyone's phone call here in the 12 o'clock hour. We're looking for an actress that Kyle didn't recognize. They didn't even know her name for the Phillies opening night.
Who?
I mean, he really did. We felt old. I mean, you must have felt really old, but I felt old too. We have Elliot join us next. His take on all this and some audio. We got to get his thoughts from Saquon and Jason Kelce. You're going to want to hear this next. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.